Hello, welcome along to this week's episode of the Let's Get Running podcast. How is the Caramel Kid?
What? I'm good. What's the white devil saying?
He's doing good. The sun's just come out in Amsterdam. We're talking here on Friday night. My baby's just gone to sleep. She may wake up. I heard her a minute ago. Jermaine heard the crying, so we might have an interrupted intro here. But hopefully, my wife Molly, she's very good at putting her to bed, so hopefully she'll be asleep. So if you hear crying, it's not our fault. We're not mistreating the baby. She's just waking up.
Please, someone call the surgeon.
She's getting some little teeth coming through, so she's not enjoying that process. But anyway.
What are you saying? It's sunny there.
Oh, it's lovely. It's been lovely all week, but it's cold, but it's really sunny. It's really nice.
Okay, that's similar to England then. Yeah. Sunny, but it's cold.
It's annoying, actually. It's windy. It's really windy. Like, and I went out for, basically, I've got a couple of weeks left of London Marathon. So it's now squeaky bum time, right? So I've got to do, I've got a couple of workouts left to do. I did one of my last ones. I was going to do 5x5K around marathon pace, I'm still trying for 3:20. I don't think I'm necessarily going to run to sub 2:20, but I'm still trying in the sessions to do that kind of pace. But it was, you know, when it's like a headwind and you don't want to do an out and back because you know all the way back you're going to have headwind in your face the whole time. So I was trying to do like little laps and it was just so annoying. Like you'd run 3:16 and then the next K you'd run, I don't know, 3:28 because you'd be back in the headwind. And it was just, it just tired me out so much.
You should have went the other way. So you went out in the headwind and come back.
Yeah. Tailwind. But trouble is, I love going down the park first because I like just being in the park. You know what I mean? And if I'd have to go east in Amsterdam, which would have been towards the busy central station. I didn't really want to go and run past loads of people. So, yeah, right. It's stupid. But that was annoying. Annoying weather. But anyway, I've got a race this weekend. I'm running.
Okay, what you got?
I've got a 5 miler, which is not ideal. I thought it was a 10 miler. But
so you thought it was 10 and then it turns out to be 5.
Yeah. It's always been this funny little race. Like it's called Hilversum City Run, right? And usually it's 10K. And last year they thought, let's do it 10 miles. And then this year they'll do 5K miles. It's really weird. But it's a big race in the Netherlands. It's got quite a good field.
So you just enter regardless of the distance and it.
Yeah, and then whatever comes out. Yeah, so yeah, I'm racing against someone called Jesper van der Wielen, who is like one of the best Dutch runners. There'll be a few Kenyans in there, so it'll be a good old burnout, but probably not good for me as a marathon runner. I'll be pretty handing my ass on a plate in that race, but yeah, we'll see. What about you? What have you been up to?
I've been doing my usual training, getting ready for the RAF fitness test tomorrow.
What, press ups?
My press ups, sit ups, and bleep test. So I've been doing a one rest of complete rest.
So is it a 6-pack or is it a 2-pack?
I've always got a 6 hiding somewhere.
Just hiding under a few layers, eh?
I'm not that fat.
So how are you mentally preparing tonight for this test tomorrow? What are you doing? Early night?
I've got to go out for dinner.
Oh, he's got the pasta boy.
Yeah, it should be all right. It's I think the most annoying thing is going to be because the easy levels, they try and get everyone to run together.
Right, okay.
So obviously you just got to be patient.
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes easier just to like just jog the other end and wait a couple of seconds and then go again.
Yeah.
But they want you to crawl along at the same pace.
Oh, really? That's weird, isn't
yeah.
it? To show you're a team player or something?
Well, it is army, isn't it? It's military.
They want you to work as a team. Oh, nice. But you think you've got it in the bag? Has your training been indicating you're ready for the challenge?
Level 7, at least, pass.
I'm sure you were doing level 7 when you were 13-year-old, weren't you?
I was probably doing level 7 when I was doing that 81 minutes for the.
Yeah. Nice. But how's life on the buses as Britain's fastest bus driver?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, driving along.
Yeah.
I'm going down Charing Cross Road. So, from Tottenham Court Road to Charing Cross Station, Charing Cross Road. So, I'm going down there. Hmm. And it's normal pace. Pull up to this bus stop. There's no one there. I'm early. So, I was like, I literally open the doors. And I sit there for like 3 minutes. And there's some people sitting at the stop. But no one wants the bus.
Yeah.
So, I go to close the doors, and then one of the people decided to get up, and he decides he wants the bus. And like, I'm mad, right? Because I was thinking I've been sitting there for minutes, and all of a sudden he wants the bus, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm unhappy. So I'm looking the other way, yeah.
Yeah.
And as he's getting on, like, not to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
And then all I heard is, and then I look over, and he's rolling around on the floor. So this guy is like a big mama. He's like super duper obese. This guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's tripped up coming onto the bus.
We shouldn't laugh, but we just did.
And it's like a turtle on its back. So he was stuck half in the bus, half out the bus. But his arms were trapped either side of the door because he was so wide, right? And I couldn't open the door to help him because the door hit him in the head, you know, like for the driver. So I'm looking at him. And
did
he's
you drive along with him at the door?
No. Right? So this bystander tries to help.
Yeah.
And he can't lift him up because he can't get in the doors to help him up. So I open the back doors. So the bystander comes on through the back doors, comes along the thing,
yeah.
And obviously can get his arms.
Yeah.
He's so heavy. It takes two of them to lift him up. And then obviously he says thank you to them.
Yeah.
And then, like, oh, he's embarrassed. But what does he do to get out of the embarrassment?
He has a go at me.
No, he goes, oh, it's all your fault. You should have lowered the bus. I was like, ah! I was thinking, yeah, maybe, you know, because he's so heavy, lifted his legs like a weight session. But I was thinking, yeah, and then he's trying to have a go at me, saying, you need to lower the bus.
Oh, poor guy.
That's like, ah.
I'm being diplomatic about it. Yeah, but
the abuse I take, yeah? The abuse, and then, I had to not laugh as well, because if I laugh, oh no. That's a big yeah, no-no.
He's taking your number down. He's reporting you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, hopefully he had a good rest of the day. You never know, he might have done.
Well, when he got off, I made sure I lowered the bus, because we can't have the same antics when he was getting off.
Perhaps that's his way. That's where his way of travelling. He rolls around.
Oh boy.
Anyway. Well, this weekend's a big work weekend in the world of running, because there's about three big marathons on this weekend. I think the one that's most important to probably to the UK scene is the Brighton Marathon, where there's a big like UK only, I think, field. Or UK only elite field. We've got a few guys going there. We've got the last year's winner, Dan Nash, the Welsh marathon runner. We've got James Connor, your old mate, James Connor. You grew up with him, right?
He went to the same secondary school.
Hang on, we talked about it another day, didn't we? We said about how you two stole your old coach's pants.
he was in our group, yeah, James.
Yeah. We've got Andy Maud, my old mate. Andy Maud from, I think he was at Highgate, he's now at Clapham Chasers, but we're good pals. And so he's going, I think Andy's going to be pretty top form. But I think his main competition is going to come from Paul Navesy, who ran at Frankfurt, I think, ran pretty well. And I think he's been running this year. He's had a real break for a year, running some really fast times at half marathon. So that's going to be an interesting race for the British field, a women's field. We've got the last year's winner, I think, doing the same again. Oh, no, hang on, here we go. Helen Davis, she's coming back. But there's no on the website, no other mention of any women, which is quite strange. So let's have a look. Here we go.
All the weather needs to be good if they've got to run fast.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's all right. I heard it was pretty good. It was not too windy. Oh, here's the women's race. Sorry, we've got not on the front page. We've got Jill Collette and Heidi Davis. Only two runners in the elite field for the women. So that's a bit disappointing. But it should be apparently quite dry and overcast and not too sunny this week. So good luck to those guys at Brighton. And then we've got the Boston Marathon, everyone's favourite. If there's one race I'd like to do outside of the UK, I think it'll be Boston or New York, and I think that's going this weekend.
I've been to Boston Marathon by accident.
How did you go to Boston Marathon by accident?
So I was going altitude training, and I wanted to do the Boston 3K flat indoor.
Yeah.
Because they got a really, I think it's like New Balance indoor meet they do.
Yeah.
And that's in the winter. I got injured, so I changed my flight. But they said I still had to go to the same destination. So obviously, because I was going Easter this time, so it's a couple of months later, the race wasn't on. So instead of going to Boston for a week, they said, you still got to go to Boston. So I was like, crap, I'll just go for 1 day.
Yeah. And it's the worst day.
I went there and I'm trying to book accommodation. It's busy because I was thinking I'll just wing it. Hey, I get enough and it's packed. So why is there so many people? What's the matter? And I was like, oh, shit. But yeah, it's mad. Absolutely mad. But yeah, it's good. It's good fun. It was good fun.
Yeah. And I think, well, this year, last year, if anyone saw it, it was mental, like weather. They had two like unexpected winners. Des Linden won the US runner. She won last year, and there's a lot of the athletes dropped out of that. It was so like disgusting weather. They were all wearing coats. Did you see it last year? It was terrible. And the Japanese guy, Yuki Kawichi, he won the men. And both of them are doing it again. But there's some other interesting athletes. Edna Kiplagat's doing it for the women. Werknesh Degefa from Ethiopia is also doing it. Mara Dibaba, the sister who nobody really knows about, but she is the Dibaba sister. And Betsy Sana for the women's race. And for the men's, we've got Yuki Kawichi, obviously, I just mentioned him. Lalisa Dasisa, the Ethiopian fella. I think I find it hard to know which Dasisa it is. There's one of them that did the sub-2-hour project and one of them who won like an Olympic silver. And I'm not sure if I've even got that right. But anyway, those guys are going up for it. Jeffrey Karui. I like Jeffrey. And I think for the women, we have got a British runner going up. We've got Ali Dixon running. Ali was a former interviewee on the show a while back, so that should be interesting for her to go and run out there in Boston. So yeah, interesting marathon weekend. Only a couple of weeks to London, but there's plenty going on. And also the Paris Marathon. I know nothing about the Paris Marathon, but I do like Paris as a city. It's nice. Have you been to the Paris Marathon, Jermaine, by mistake?
No, not by mistake. I went to Paris, but not to the marathon by mistake. I had some snails when I was there, though. Some frog legs.
We were in Paris once, Molly ordered a starter, right? And it was like these pickled fish in this big like jar. And the waiter brought the jar around, and like he put the jar on our table, and we started like eating all the fish. And he kept coming back and saying, "Are you finished?" And I was like, "Hell no! There's half of this jar left to go." So I just kept eating through. And then he came back to me and tapped me on the shoulder halfway through and said, "Excuse me, that jar is for the whole restaurant, not just for you." Because what they do is they leave it on your table, you take what you want and you give it back. I thought it was just for me to eat it all. So that's my memory of Paris, eating too much pickled fish.
Was it complimentary or was it they charge you?
They didn't charge, they charged us for one portion. I ate about six. So yeah, I got away. I made my money that night. Yeah. So that was good.
That's
yeah.
No wonder the French hate the English. Because of you. Because of you.
Those English pigs. Eating all the fish. Yeah. Yeah, but hey. We've had loads of people nominating on our Soar Grassroots Hero competition. So if you've been listening to the last couple of weeks, you'll have heard us talk about us wanting to honour the unsung heroes in the world of the sport who make running a better place. So who give up their time, give up their time to help us improve as runners and to help our enjoyment of the sport. So we've had some really good unsung hero nominations. And I'm just going to read a couple. So we had a good one from James Holt. James Holt said he wants to nominate Greg Drack. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but Greg founded a group called the Midnight Runners. They aim to make running more social and they fill a gap. They fills a gap typically undeserved by normal running clubs, particularly young, underserved, sorry, not undeserved, underserved by normal running clubs, particularly young women and those new to the UK. His tireless work, vision and marketing has led them to Midnight Runners launching in 10 global cities, having a global impact. He's now shifted his focus to My Crew, an app that empowers active people to connect, build running and fitness communities and discover inspiration. Greg has directly impacted the lives of hundreds, if not thousands of people, and is my grassroots hero. Interesting one. Nice one, James. That's really cool to hear that one. It's interesting, like, not a traditional kind of part of the running club scene, which is good. Someone who's just affected lots of people's enjoyment of running. So that's a really good shout. We've got another one from, from Rob Walker. Rob Walker just says, "Who's your grassroots hero? Ben Poche, night of the 10,000 metres, enough said." So that's a nice one for Rob. We'll leave it like that. And then
Legend.
I've got a good one to notice here. We've got one where we had someone nominate someone, and then that person also to nominate somebody else. So the first time, Matthew Harvey has nominated Mark Hookway. So Mark Hookway, for those who don't know Mark, he has been on the show. He did a national cross-country review. But he said, I'll read it out here. So Mark's passion and love for athletics is clear as soon as you meet him. He truly eats and sleeps athletics, and his pride in developing athletes is clear. Like his advice for athletes, there is no quick route to being one of the best coaches in the country. It takes years of hard work, consistency, dedication, early mornings and late nights. Mark has done the hard yards, and the fruits of his labour are clear to see, with Tunbridge Runners, one of the best clubs around. Not that you hear that from Mark, he's not one to blow his own trumpet, but instead just to get ready for the next season, the next meet and the next podcast. Whatever it takes to get the best out of athletes, Mark will do it. A remarkable, inspirational figure. Many people are grateful to him for turning them into athletes that they are. So yeah, that was an absolutely great shout. I know Mark is a good guy, so that's nice to hear that one. And I will read out on Mark's. Mark has actually nominated Bob Baldaro. So on the UK scene, a lot of people will know Bob Baldaro. He's been a coach to hundreds and thousands of athletes through Birmingham University. And Mark just nominated saying, I don't know Bob myself, other than to nod and say hello to, but I'm totally struck by the number of athletes that recognise how much he's helped them over the years. They don't just refer to him as a coach, but as a mentor and a friend. I think he definitely deserves a nomination as a grassroots hero. So that was really nice from Mark. So you've been nominated, Mark, and you've been a nominee. So that was really cool. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, and keep them coming. Oh, we did have one more. Two more recordings. Hang on a minute. Let me just get them up. Here's the first one. Hang on. Hello? Is that the Chinese takeaway? I'll have... Here we go. Here's the real one. Let's play it through the audio. I wonder if Jermaine can hear.
Hello. What? Caramel. White Devil. This is the even whiter devil, Dave Reagan. I just call him to put in a nomination for your Grassroots Heroes competition. And the person I want to nominate is Cheryl Reagan. Name might sound familiar. It is my mum. So not only has she supported me over the years, she's actually coached at our club for just over 20 years now. Now, she's always coached the youngest athletes in the club and passed them on to the other groups, whether they're multi-eventers, distance runners, sprinters, whatever, and must have coached well over 1,000 by now. And a lot of them are still in the club today. We've had a ton of internationals that have come through her group, and every athlete that's still there has a lot of respect for her, still talk to her, go and give her cuddles, whatever. And what she probably won't want me to say is that she's in her 70s now. And whether it's burning hot sun, tipping with rain, snowing, icy, she's always at the track 3 times a week. She's at competitions wherever they might be. So she chases the kids around to all their competitions. She comes with me to watch some of the older ones who have now progressed. And like I say, they are still in the club. I train with quite a few of the athletes that have come through her. So it's testament that she does get them to stick around and gets the bug into them. She hasn't only coached, though. She's been an official. She's been a team manager, which, as quite a lot of you know, that's a very thankless task. And there's a local cross-country league, which she's also had a hand in setting up. So plenty of competition opportunities for the younger kids. Just really think that she deserves a little appreciation, because as she coaches kids at such a young age, she often isn't recognised for doing the good work that she does. But she's fantastic. You speak to anyone from our club that's been coached by her, they all love her to pieces. I really just want to push that point forward. What else? Keep doing the good work you're doing, boys. Love the podcast. It's my Tuesday morning drive to work. And also, I don't get why none of your guests, when asked the best endurance performance of all time, loads of them go for Paula Radcliffe. Obviously, the easy answer. No one's mentioned Daniel Komen's 3K, 7:20. That is phenomenal. I'll wait for that to pop up from someone. Cheers, boys.
There we go. Did you hear that, Jermaine, or did you not hear that?
No.
What, I didn't hear anything.
You heard nothing. Well, I can tell you that was from Dave Reagan, and he nominated his mum. You've heard it before.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah,
you've heard it. Yeah. So that was nice. And he had a little thing for at the end there for a greatest endurance performance of all time from Daniel Komen.
Yeah, that was funny.
It's a nice one, Dave. That's a good nomination.
Yeah, it's all about the intro.
All about the intro. Yeah. So keep those grassroots heroes, those sore running grassroots heroes nominations coming in. And obviously, we are looking to give away a huge prize. Like that is, you will win a elite tempo top for you, the nominator, and for the nominee. So please get your nominations in. Check out Sore Running. They're a great brand. They want to support grassroots running in all forms. So yeah, help out.
Is it a choice of colours?
I don't think so. I think there's just a black. I think you're stuck with a black, but everyone knows black's the best, right? Want to keeping it French.
It's all about keeping it.
They love to wear the black, right? The
French. That's blue and white stripes, isn't it? The French.
Yeah, a mixture. So either black or blue and white stripes. That's all they got in their wardrobes. Yeah. Get your Sore Grassroots Heroes nominations in now. There's three ways of doing it. You can go online, letsgetrun.co.uk/grassroots-hero. Or you can go on any of our social posts and just put a comment or in the comment section who your grassroots hero is. Or the final thing is, as you just saw Dave do then, send us a little recording. We'll always try and play those on live on air. And the number is, you can find out the number by going to the show notes for this episode. So go letsgetrun.co.uk/podcast and get the latest show. And you can find the number, the WhatsApp number to send that to now. So to go and do that and hopefully get your nominations in. Good stuff. So we've got a great interview this week. We're really exciting to speak to Courtney DeVolta. And Courtney, if you haven't heard of her, she is a ultra runner based out in the US. And she is, again, like Jasmine Paris, who we interviewed a few months back, she's impressing with her incredible performances across the pond, beating male and female athletes and really setting new boundaries in terms of ultra running. So it's going to be great to chat to her. We will go over to her interview now. On today's show, I am chatting to Courtney DeVolta. Courtney DeVolta. Sorry, Courtney, I keep getting your name wrong, but it's right. On today's show, I'm going to be talking to Courtney DeVolta. Yeah, DeVolta.
No, it's perfect.
It's perfect. I'm very bad at names, but anyway, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You're good. Apart from having to talk to an English guy who can't even say names properly. Apart from that fact, you're fine. So we're just talking a bit off air about whereabouts you're based. You're over in California, you said?
No, Colorado.
Colorado, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. We're in Colorado and finally it seems like maybe the snow is done and we're going to get some warm weather here.
Great. Are you up at altitude?
Not too high, but like Denver itself is a mile high and we're a little bit higher than that. So I think I'm right up about 6,000 feet.
Okay. So you're getting a bit of a benefit of being a little bit higher than you do.
Yeah, a little bit probably.
Yeah, nice. And what are you training for at the moment? What are you preparing for in terms of your racing?
My next one that I'm trying to prepare for is called Madeira Island Ultra Trail. It's 115 kilometers on the island of Madeira, which is off the coast of Portugal.
Oh, nice. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, so that's at the end of April.
Great. Nice. And how long's the race? What are you entering there?
115 kilometers.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And it'd be hot there, I guess.
Hey, yeah, probably.
Yeah, nice.
Tropical getaway.
Yeah. And have you raced a lot in Europe before?
No, not very much.
Okay.
I'm excited to experience some new trails and new places and dip my toe in the Europe racing scene a little more this year.
Yeah, nice. And have you got any other big races coming up this year? What's your goal for 2019?
For sure, I'll be doing Hard Rock 100, which is a mountain race here in Colorado. And the 24-hour world championships are this year in Albi, France. And so I'll be competing with Team USA there in October.
Okay.
And then the rest of the schedule is, still kind of being firmed up.
Yeah. And what makes you choose particular events and races? Do you do it for the courses, or is there a particular reason you choose particular events?
No particular reason. Sometimes it's the course that intrigues me, sometimes it's the challenge that intrigues me, or a new place to go and experience. Runs the whole gamut of reasons for doing them.
Yeah, fantastic. And looking back to how you started this whole thing off, when did you first start running? When was your introduction to the world of running?
Probably. So elementary school here in the US, we have to run the mile always. And so that was my first introduction to racing and feeling what it feels like to push really hard when you're running. And then it led me yeah, so then it just led to cross country and track in middle school and high school. And a lifelong love for moving, getting outside and running.
Fantastic. And you grew up in Minnesota?
Minnesota, have you been there?
Never. No, I've never been to the US. I still have to go over at some point. My wife's company's based in St. Louis, so at some stage we're going to come to the US, but yeah, we'd love to see Minnesota. So, and you did a lot of Nordic skiing out there, is that right?
Nordic skiing is a great winter activity in Minnesota, and winter lasts pretty long up there, so there's plenty of time for getting out on the snow. So I raced Nordic skiing through high school, and then that's what brought me to Colorado. I came out to race and study here in Denver.
Oh, for Nordic skiing. Oh, great. Oh, fantastic. But what changed then, I guess? What was the you maybe still do Nordic skiing a bit, but what made your move towards running and prioritizing that in your life?
After college, I moved down to Mississippi, which is a very southern, warm state. So there was no snow anymore. So it was, kind of forced my hand in what my activities were going to be. Set aside the skis for a while and just got back to running.
And what is it that makes you, perhaps in your childhood, what is it that makes you suited to doing these longer endurance events? Was there something in your childhood you felt like you particularly loved about it?
I think no. Oh, I think I just love all of it. Like, I love that it's something where you get back exactly what you put into it. So if you work hard, then put in the miles every single day and just build up that base, you're gonna start seeing results from that. And I also love the places you can explore with it. You can be out there in the middle of nowhere and have traveled there with your feet, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, fantastic. And certainly the events you're excelling at the moment are, for most of our listeners, that's a long time to be out exercising. Like, it's quite a boring thing at times. Were you quite good when you were a kid at just going off and amusing yourself?
I mean, we were the type of kids who we would spend all day outside on the summer day and just come back for dinner and then escape back outside. So, we always were good at entertaining ourselves and just making any situation pretty fun, which I think is a lot like running.
Yeah, absolutely. And with your move to going longer and longer, and obviously you said you went to college and then you started running after when you went to down to Mississippi. How did that fit in with your work? You're a science teacher in is it secondary school, in high school you were teaching?
High school, down in Mississippi. I mean, like anyone, right? You make it work. So teaching days can be really long, but you can set the alarm a little bit early so that you can get in, some of that outdoor movement time every day. So I would get up at like 4 a.m. and get in my run, get in the teaching day, grading and stuff, and then probably another run at night just to move a little bit.
Yeah. And when did you start noticing you could, 'cause I presumably you're not teaching now. You're not, you've
Yeah, I just took off last year, and this year I stepped out of the classroom
Okay.
just for fun.
Yeah. But when did you realize that you could make a career of trail running and ultra running? When did you start thinking, hang on, this is something that I'm suited to and I'm doing really well at?
A couple of years ago, it was getting to the point where something had to give. It was like trying to fit way too much into every single day, and so not doing each of those things as well as I wanted to. So it was like, what's the situation right now, and what could give that, would be okay? And it was like, well, heck, teaching jobs will be there for life. That's always going to be an option, but who knows how long my legs will last and how long this ride will go. So let's just try it. I have a really supportive husband, so that made it possible to, know that we could pay the bills still, even if this all fell through. Yeah, and it's been fun to just try it out and explore this a little bit more.
Yeah, fantastic. And sort of looking at your, I'm sort of reading about your different races and the things you're going through, it seems like you've got a high tolerance of pain. I can't remember the race it was in now, I've completely forgotten, but you went blind. Or you started to feel like you were going blind. Like, is that a part of your personality? Or is it? Or have you had to really work on that? Have you had to work on your pain tolerance? Or is it something you've always been like blessed with, let's say?
Oh, probably a little bit, was genetic or my upbringing. But I also have learned a lot about just the mental toughness that you have to have during these ultras throughout, the past couple of years. And pushing on when it physically hurts is always possible if you just like switch gears in your head. So, yeah, I had to learn the hard way. I dropped out of my first 100-mile race because it hurt so bad. And I wasn't prepared to battle that. So it didn't like all click right away for me.
So you kind of got an ability, because this is with my running, I've got no talent to run, but I've got an ability to absorb training. So I guess you could say in a similar, you've got an ability to absorb experiences and develop from them.
Hope I'm trying.
Well, looking at that particular example that with the, which is the race that you did lose your sight? What was the race called?
It was Run Rabbit Run 100,
Okay.
and that was in 2017.
Yeah. What happened?
And it
How
was
did
in
you
the
get to that
last.
point?
Yeah, it was in the last like 12 miles, it just started blurring around the edges. And I thought, that it was just my contacts or, maybe there was dust in my eyes or my headlamp maybe was fading. I couldn't tell what was going on, but it just closed in. And by 10 miles out, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. It was pure white. Yeah. So I just looked down at the ground and I could make out the trail right in front of my toes. So I just stared straight at my toes and tried to run as fast as I could. Which, yeah,
I was going
I
to say,
fell
how did you mentally talk yourself into doing that? How did you, what did you say to yourself to keep you pushing that hard?
a lot. It was so close to the end, it was like, you can't let up now. So here's the situation. You can't see, but here's one solution is just stare straight down and move as quickly as possible. It didn't cross my mind to, like, n it was basically just, an assessment of what was going on. And then what do we do about it? Well, we keep moving because what are you gonna do out there? 10 miles to the finish.
Absolutely. And do you think, how do you push yourself too hard in getting to that point? Do you know why it happened? Do you know why you started to go?
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't been taking in calories very great, so my whole body was probably just depleted and working on overdrive. And then I do wear contact lenses, and it had been like a dusty, kind of smoky race. So one of the ideas of what happened is I had corneal edema, which basically like my contacts rubbing on my eyes with all of this grit in there caused some swelling, which led to this temporary blindness.
Wow. But you got through it. Did you win that race?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, wow. Pretty amazing. So obviously you have an ability to just to know what you need to do in that situation and just do it.
I don't know. I think all ultra runners are pretty good at it, and runners in general. You just have to solve problems out there, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Like, sometimes you don't have that many options.
And so obviously, like, so the racing in a way is kind of your training for these mental difficult moments. Like, how do you train, like, outside of these races? How do you train for events? Because I've read stuff about you being very kind of free form about how you get out and you run. What does a typical week look like for you in your training schedule?
Yeah, I get on average 100 miles per week. But how those are, you know, distributed throughout the days, or even if I go above or below that, is usually not planned. So I'll just wake up and kind of assess how I'm doing, how I'm feeling that day, physically and mentally, and then head out and let my legs kind of take charge in what we do. So sometimes I leave my door and I don't know even where I'm going, and I'll just see.
Yeah.
And sometimes I have, you know, like a plan for what trail segment I want to hit or whatever, but yeah. There's no plan to it.
Okay. And but do you even have like, so say you were taking on a specific race, do you have like things you want to cover in that training block to get you to that race? Or is it you just want to be consistent in your training in the lead up to it?
Yeah, mostly it's pretty just stay consistent. And, you know, I have certain runs or distances or even sections of runs where I'll add in a little speed work sometimes. Mm. So I have like all of those basics that I'll always do no matter what training I'm doing or what race I'm getting ready for. But then depending on what race, you know, is in the nearest future, I'll try and add in some of the specific things for it. So like Hard Rock 100, for example, is way at altitude. In Colorado, the course actually gets up to 14,000 feet at one point. And so the focus, you know, leading into that is definitely going to be to do all of the normal things, but also to get up high and just train my body to get ready for that type of altitude, that type of running.
Yeah, absolutely. And are you still influenced, obviously, because you, in your past career, you were into track and you were into cross country, sort of these short distance races. Do you still touch on those things when you're training? Do you still do track workouts every now and again and that sort of thing to keep your legs pumped?
No, I don't hit the track ever.
No, those days have gone.
Yeah.
If you did have a tip then, if our listeners are thinking of attacking maybe a 100-mile race, and they were looking for one training tip, could you give them sort of something specific that they should go out and do in their training? Not maybe one session, but maybe over the course of their training period.
I think consistency is huge, and just accumulating mileage on your legs so that they can, you know, build up the muscles needed and, you know, all the physical pieces involved in that. And then it also just, I think builds up some mental strength as well to hold yourself accountable to getting out the door, no matter what you're feeling like. So, you know, experiencing that in a training run when it's, you know, pouring rain and you don't want to go out and get in your run, do it anyways, because you don't know. I mean, it might be pouring rain your entire 100-mile race, you know, so you can't always just wait for the blue skies and the perfect mental state to get out, I think.
Yeah. So getting out there is the most important thing.
I think so. Yeah. But I'm not a coach and not an expert. So.
No, but it's going well for you so far. Like, a lot has been made about your ability to both compete with and beat your male counterparts. Like, what's your take on it? Does it mean anything to you to be beating men in these races?
When I line up at a race, I'm gonna try and compete with everyone. So I don't care, you know, what gender they are, or it doesn't matter to me, because when you're out racing, you should just keep looking for the next person, I think, and that just keeps you pushing as hard as you can the whole time.
Yeah. And
Yeah,
do you go
so.
into each race thinking, I'm going to win, I'm going out there with the we to try and win this?
I mean, it'll be like, yeah, at least try. You know, some races that's not realistic at all, but if you just put that on yourself as like, yeah, it makes the standard higher, right? So you don't settle for less than everything you've got that day.
Okay, yeah. And do you feel, obviously there's been a lot of attention on the fact that obviously here in the UK, so I don't know if you know of a lady called Jasmine Paris who is
Yes, oh my gosh.
so it's
Yeah, we
big.
were watching that race. So that was so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. We interviewed her a few months back. She's a really lovely lady, actually. She's really nice.
I'd
But
love to meet her.
yeah, she's nice. But it's at the moment it's quite the kind of this debate is quite a it's big in our I say in our psyches, put it that way. But it's quite a big thing in the media. This you know the women at ultra marathon events really giving showing men how it's done in a way. You now have obviously a female role model. Like, how do you feel about that as a as having this for this focus on you?
I don't know how I feel about it. But yeah, I mean, if like something Jasmine does, or you know, there's tons of women here in the States raising the bar and pushing limits. So if something that someone does, you know, inspires another person to try something they aren't sure they can do, or to motivate them to, you know, push a little bit harder in whatever thing they're aspiring to achieve, then that's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And but do you feel like an extra responsibility in a way? Like, do you feel like because people's eyes, young girls are looking at you and are being inspired by you, do you feel extra responsibility to behave or to act in a certain way?
I mean, I'm gonna just be myself, and yeah, you know, whoever that maybe relates to or doesn't relate to.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and looking at the way, obviously, the longer things go, the more the psychological or mental strength is becoming important. Like, for in terms of the male versus female, or the you know the narrowing of the gap, certainly. Like, from a practical perspective, we talked a little bit before. Is there anything you have done to improve this aspect, your mental toughness, your performance? Anything you focus on over years to try and be better at that side of your performance.
Yeah, I think it's super important. But there's nothing that I don't like sit and meditate or try and build mental strength in that way. For me, it's a lot about just experiences. So accumulating experiences that show me, okay, you got through that disaster. That's going to build some mental strength for next time. So that each time then I encounter those things during the next race, I'm like, you've been here before, you know you can do this, so just keep pushing. So yeah, it's for me, it's a lot of just race experiences, like putting yourself in that really uncomfortable place, and then yeah, accumulating some like knowledge that you can make it through that.
Yeah, and how do you talk to yourself in race? Are we going through dark moments? What sort of things are you saying to yourself to keep yourself on track?
Yeah. Usually I'm just saying you're fine. This is fine. So just like reassuring myself that anything I'm feeling at that moment is just fine. And yeah, usually it's just trying to tell myself that everything is going according to plan, even if it's not going according to plan at all.
Because actually, we're quite simple beings, aren't we, really? And our brain can be tricked into
Yeah, oh,
thinking a lot of
totally.
things. Yeah, they're
Yeah,
just
so
cause.
whatever you have to do to trick yourself, that's basically all you have to do. Yeah.
And looking at like some of your victories you've had, so you've won some races by like 10 hours. So you've really destroyed some opposition. Like, is that before like pre-race? Are you? Kind of, how do you mentally prepare? Before, how you calm the nerves? Are you a nervous person leading up to an event?
Yeah, I'll usually be a little nervous. Just, I think because I know that it's going to hurt, and I don't know what, curveballs are going to be thrown in the day. So usually there's just a little bit of nervousness about those two things, but also a lot of excitement to go to those dark places and to get out on the trails and just enjoy. Yeah.
And do you think that you've got a bit of a ruthless streak about you? Do you want to go to a race and just absolutely smash it and push as hard as you possibly can and destroy race records and things like that? Is there a ruthless side to your character?
I don't know. No one's ever called me ruthless, but
A cold-hearted killer.
yeah.
She's out to destroy people. Yeah.
No, I just when I start a race, I don't want to finish and wonder what if. Like, what if I had pushed a little harder? What if I had done that section better? I want to leave everything out there on that day and see where that lands me. So I think that's the driving force mostly.
Yeah, okay.
Not cold-heartedness.
No. You're not pushing people off the trail and getting your elbows out and get out of the way. I've got a record to break.
Jeez.
Yeah. Maybe that's the next step to eat, get those little extra 10% in performance. Maybe.
I hope not.
No. It's nice. It's a nice community, I guess, isn't it? The ultra running communities. There's very few kind of communities like the running community in terms of their togetherness and their support for each other. So yeah, you don't want to be elbowing people
Yeah,
in the
it's
face.
so wonderful.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fantastic. And thinking about, I guess it's hard to think long term. How where do you want to go with it? Where do you want to take this running career?
Yeah, I think just continuing to try new things, and I'm really intrigued right now by those long distances. So 100 mile plus, 200 mile plus races and adventures, I think are really interesting because of, all the hours and all of the miles where things can go wrong and things can go right. I think that's really cool. So yeah, I'm gonna keep exploring that for myself and see what's possible. And yeah, as long as I'm loving it, I don't foresee having to switch gears, but we'll see. Yeah.
There's an English guy who was the marathon record holder for a long time in the UK called Steve Jones, and he said running is about what he loves about it is running is about stress. And like put every day putting yourself into stressful situations and learning more about yourself, which I guess is what you kind of said there, really.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
a good way of summarizing it. And kind of going back a little bit to I was talking about being a role model. You're also a bit of a role model in terms of your approach to nutrition, in terms of your relaxed attitude to particularly post race. Plenty of photos of you with
Some people
burgers.
would not call that a role model.
But in a way, it's good to have someone who is relaxed about the way they eat and they feel, and they'll drink beer and they'll eat burgers and whatnot. Obviously, does that apply to when you're running? How would you fuel yourself through these races?
Yeah, so my diet outside of races is really lax. Like, there's no rhyme or reason. It's whatever's convenient or whatever I'm craving. There's nothing that gets eliminated from my diet. But during races, I actually stay in a really tight family of foods that I just have found work for me over the course of many hours. And yeah, so I save the beer and the candy and nachos for the finish line, but during the race, it stays pretty tight.
Okay. Is there anything particularly you eat and you recommend?
Yeah, I think everyone has to figure out what works for them, but for me, Tailwind is an electrolyte powder that goes in your drinks. So I use that, and then I use Honey Stinger products. So the chews and the waffles work really well for me. When the races get longer than 100 kilometers, I'll usually then also add in mashed potatoes.
Okay, all right. Wow.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, simple stuff. You don't have to plan much for packing.
Simple stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps
Great.
that part really simple for me, which is easier, I think, for your brain during some of those harder efforts. You don't have to think about what you want because you only are choosing between two things, you know?
Yeah. It's funny you said this is a different story, but we've got a neighbor who he is, he only wears yellow, right? So he only wears yellow jacket, yellow shorts, yellow trainers. And I thought, actually, do you know what? That's just a nice way to live because you haven't got to worry about anything else. As long as if you know what you're going to wear, you're going to wear yellow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just a simple way of living.
Yeah.
And that's what nutrition should be.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Speaking of what you wear, I've been meaning to ask, what's with the shorts? Because you wear obviously the long kind of almost board shorts. What made you go for those?
It's just been what I've always worn. And so when I, you know, entered into the ultra running world, it didn't cross my mind that I would change what I wear.
Hmm.
They're just comfortable for me. And yeah, I think it's all about comfort out there on the trails.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't keep too much longer, but I've got three final quick fire questions that we ask to everybody we interview.
Okay.
So the questions are, here we go. Number one is, if you could be anywhere running now, where would that be?
Oh, somewhere with dry trails. Ours are just a muddy, icy mess right now. So really anywhere in the world that has some dry, runnable trails.
Perfect. Easy answer.
Yeah.
Our second is, can you recommend our listeners something? So we're thinking, are there something in terms of like a physical thing, like a book or a film or anything like that? Or perhaps an experience you think is really enriching that people should try?
Oh, geez. It's not running related, but if you haven't seen Free Solo, you got to watch it. Have you seen it?
No.
It's a climbing movie.
Ah.
It's really, really awesome movie about, a climber here in the U.S. taking on this huge wall. And I think, yeah, you can relate a lot of it to whatever goal in life you're pursuing, just dedicating yourself to putting in the work every day.
Yeah, fantastic. Free Solo.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And our final question is, in your opinion, what is the greatest endurance performance of all time?
I don't know. Oh man. I'm not a history buff. I'm not well versed on all of this, but Yannis Kouros is a pretty legendary name in fixed time races.
Hmm.
And Anne Traysen is up there with some, you know, huge results and kind of paving the way for women in ultra running for a long time here in the U.S.
Mm.
But I don't know, like, endurance feat of all time, there's so many.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the people who, like, walk to the South Pole, that's crazy.
Yeah.
There was that person who swam around, they swam around the U.K. or...
Oh yeah,
something.
He was really ill and stuff, wasn't he? But he just kept on going.
That's bonkers.
Yeah,
yeah.
The water's not nice around the edge of the UK. It's not warm. We'll take that guy.
Yeah,
that guy.
I mean, there's just too many. There's too many different directions you could go with that question.
Yeah, okay.
We could talk the whole day about options, I bet.
Yeah, that's for podcast round two. We'll just discuss that. But well, thanks so much for your time and good luck in Madeira. There's I don't know if you know that the soccer player Cristiano Ronaldo, have you heard that name? He's from Madeira, and at the airport it's apparently the funniest sculpture of all time. So some sculptor has made his face, and it's just so weird. It's just the weirdest thing you'll ever see. So when you get to Madeira, I think it's in the airport, look for if there is an airport in Madeira, the Cristiano Ronaldo sculpture, and it'll give you a laugh for a little bit anyway.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Thanks for that.
And good luck for the race. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
So great interview there from Courtney. She was a real, really excellent person to chat to. I really enjoyed talking to her. So check her out, have a look at the stuff she's doing on Instagram and give her some support, guys. So reviews. We've had a couple.
What's people been saying? What are they been saying?
We've had two, right? So basically it's funny, you can only see the reviews you get from the country you are, your iTunes is set up in, right? So all this time, wow. I didn't realise I've had reviews on my Dutch site and on my UK site. So I'll read out, first of all, the UK ones, and let's go for the first one. So it says, the title is Fab Podcast, exclamation mark, by Waxon's little sister. So I wonder who Waxon is. Do you know Waxon, okay. Jermaine?
No.
Waxon? Maybe that's Waxon?
Maybe that's a code for something.
Yeah, or is it, you know that, is it Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off. Maybe it's Mr. Miyagi's little sister. But anyway, she says, I love listening to your podcast. Your intro chat with one another is hilarious and always gets me giggling. While your interview athletes are always really informative. Keep up the amazing work. Thanks, Waxon's Thank little you. Sister. Wax on, wax off. Then we've got another one which is says, keep up the good work, and it's got three exclamation marks. Perfect. And it's from Theo Bahananak. And I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Theo. But it says, Sean / Jermaine. Good stuff, guys. Podcast is on point. I train at Lady Bellarina, which I know you guys know very well. And I've told some new runners there to check out the podcast. It's great.
That's my boy.
Yeah, spread the word, Theo. It's great the amount of valuable information and content you provide with a cross-section of guests. Love the chemistry between the two of you. It's good to see you don't take yourselves too seriously. I came across the podcast in episode 31 and I've now listened to them all. One suggestion, if I may, perhaps have on the show one of the recipients of your training plan and hear their journey. I think this would be relatable to the average regular runner, in addition to the insights of elites and pros you have on the show. Keep it up. Nice one. That's not a bad idea, that, Theo. We'll have to think about that. That sounds a good little idea.
Project Civilian or something.
Project Civilian. Yeah. I like it. I like it. And also, I've got to read this other one because it was a good one. I got a little review on my Dutch iTunes. But also,
a quick note. Yeah. Anyone putting reviews in, they can make their name really long so Sean can't pronounce it.
Yeah. The longer the name, the better. Well, this one's got a good name. It's called Blowfish Face. And Blowfish Face has said...
You said this is Dutch, right?
Yeah, it must be an English person living in Holland. Maybe someone I know.
Well, you know they might be a bit freaky out there.
Well, I'm slightly worried it's my wife, so I bet I'll get too worried. She did say she's done a review and I've never seen it, so this could be it. So Blowfish Face, aka someone who could be my wife, says, a brilliant running podcast, great stuff from Jermaine and Sean, love listening on my runs, inspiring stories from top UK athletes. So she's got a UK slant, Blowfish Face, but I don't know if she's UK or she's a Dutch.
But anyway. You should test your wife. When you're out for dinner, just, you know, occasionally try to do like a puff face up. and see what she does. Just see how, you know, just puff out the cheeks out.
I'll try and eat everything and chew it with a big blowfish face.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, so that was good. Thanks, Blowfish Face. And we'll leave everyone to it. I've got to go and get ready for my dinner. I've got a race coming this weekend, like I said, so I'm looking forward to that. And Jermaine will know whether he is in the RAF or not by tomorrow.
Oh,
it's going to be close. Is we'll keep our fingers crossed, Jermaine.
Yeah, cool.
Lovely. Right. See everyone next week.
See you, people. Bye.
Bye.